Topic 58. Free Will. 1. It might be said that within the limits of the intelligent direction of the intelligent man, there is free will as far as activity in the human kingdom is concerned. Where no mind activity is present, and where there is no power to discriminate, to analyze, and to choose, there is no free will. Within the vaster processes of the plan, however, as it includes the entire planetary evolution, there is, for the tiny unit man, no free will. He is subject, for instance, to what we call acts of God, and before these he is helpless. He has no choice and no escape. Herein lies a hint upon the working of karma in the human kingdom. Karma and intelligent responsibility are inextricably woven and interwoven. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 29. 2. The great distinction between the human kingdom in the three worlds and the other kingdoms in nature is the factor of free will. In the matter of death, this free will has, in the last analysis, a definite relation to the soul. The will of the soul is either consciously or unconsciously followed, where the decision of death is concerned, and this idea carries with it many implications which the students would do well to ponder. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, page 248. 3. Mankind is oft unpredictable owing to the factor of free will. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 231. 4. The following are points which it will be difficult for you to grasp, but which are of major importance. The human being is influenced upon the path of evolution from above downwards. The initiate is directed from within upwards. It is this which formulates the underlying significance of the energy of free will, and is something only truly possible through self-direction. This can be seen struggling for expression today in that great world disciple, humanity. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 566. 5. Men decide for themselves direct action. They make their own choices and exert unimpeded the free will with which they may at any time be equipped. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 640. 6. Christ and the spiritual hierarchy never, no matter how great the need or important the incentive, infringe upon the divine right of men to take their own decisions, to exert their own free will, and to achieve freedom by fighting for freedom, individually, nationally, and internationally. When true freedom covers the earth, we shall see the end of tyranny, politically, religiously, and economically. I am not here referring to modern democracy as a condition which meets the needs, for democracy is at present a philosophy of wishful thinking and an unachieved ideal. I refer to that period which will surely come, in which an enlightened people will rule. These people will not tolerate authoritarianism in any political system. They will not accept or permit the rule of any body of men who undertake to tell them what they must believe in order to be saved, or what government they must accept. When the people are told the truth, and when they can freely judge and decide for themselves, we shall then see a much better world. From The Reappearance of the Christ, pages 164 through 165. 7. The hierarchy, because of the divine principle of free will in humanity, cannot foretell how men will act in times of crisis. The hierarchy cannot enforce the good way of life against normal human desire, for this good way of action must come from out of the very depths of human thinking and feeling, and must emerge as a free and non-supervised endeavor. The hierarchy may not take those possible steps which will prevent men making mistakes, for it is through those mistakes that men learn by the means of evil that good is best, as your great initiate poet has expressed it. From the Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 636. See also the topic Guidance.